first service ended early, but there's a lot of you out there, which meant more mittens, more candles, and more everything. So I'm hoping you'll just, you know, bear with us if we go a little late before the congregational meeting, because I got a few things to say today, and I want to make sure you hear them. Thank you. So what does it mean to be a community of presence? That's the question we ask ourselves this month as part of Soul Matters, which is a national collection of UU congregations engaged in thematic spiritual reflection. Surely, presence has to do with showing up physically as those who literally stood in the cold northern plains have done for months now, responding to the call. And I'm so grateful to those in our congregation who offered their physical presence at Standing Rock, to Scott, to Charlie Spear, to Reverend Ruth Reinhardt, and to our office manager, Carol Pransky, and to Sue Middleton for collecting goods for those from those among us who weren't able to go. Am I missing anyone? I know there was a lot of love and support that went, and we had these our physical people there with us. This sort of physical presence is powerful, easy to see, and inspiring, deeply inspiring. Those who went to Standing Rock were invited as witnesses, a silent presence, a prayerful presence, trained in a daily orientation to drop whatever privileged narratives they might carry, those narratives that sometimes make us think that we have the answers. And like the blind cafe that I talked about last week, this sort of witnessing requires us to be led by the most vulnerable among us. Witnessing is such a powerful act of presence. And we know from our history, from the civil rights movement to last week's denial of the pipeline purpose, that witnessing has the power to move mountains. I don't think anybody could have predicted that the permit would be denied on that very day. Naming is also a very important part of presence. Naming and framing what is, as well as what could be. Last week, when I was talking, I talked about the alt-right as a hateful rhetoric that they're promoting and their rise to power. And after the service, I was invited by Becky to name that group for what it is, the white nationalist movement. That is really hard to hear and to acknowledge. By nature, kindness is my practice. By nature, I'm a harmonizer. By nature, I seek to find common ground. And in these times of such great uncertainty, of such great fear, and of unprecedented acts of discrimination, I'm feeling very off kilter. For a while there, I was feeling like we're living in some kind of a Harry Potter world of stark good and stark evil. And I don't think that's not my natural state to live in. I don't think it's really good for my soul in the long term. But I also don't want to be naive about the possibilities for true harm. It's complicated within me about how to respond as a person of faith in these times. Deeply complicated. And as I, you know, as I'm living in these times, I keep thinking about that famous poem that begins, "First they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak up because I'm not a socialist." You probably know how that goes at the end, right? I've even heard versions of it now for these times. Not socialists and trade unionists and those words that Reverend Martin Niemöller used in 1930s Germany, but words like Jews and gays and what else? Immigrants, Muslims, atheists, right? There is a movement out there to create a white Christian nation. That's deeply troubling. And I often just don't know what to do about it. But I think naming is deeply important to this process. But whatever civil rights movements we inspire, whatever actions we take, we need to walk the fine line of not becoming that which we wish to defeat. Does that make sense? Yes. So that's where the naming is so challenging. But I don't want to be naive anymore. And I don't think any of us can be naive anymore. And I'm somebody who doesn't take in that much media because I find it so distressing. But just last night I was reading about, have you heard about the echoes in Twitter? Now people put three brackets around the names of Jewish people so that they can be targeted when they're Twittering. That's happening now. And it's been covert to a lot of us. Not to a lot of people, but to me at least, right? We have got to name this. We have got to stand in witness, and we have got to begin to act as another form of presence. The other kind of naming I want to talk about is naming what could be, that positive naming. Think Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Decades later, we are still holding that up as a value that we want to espouse and move towards. That positive naming, that positive framing. And as Unitarian Universalists, with our inclusive message of love, we need to learn how to name that positive value we want to see and get it out there into the world. So this February, I'm going to be teaching a class called Articulating Our UU Faith to give us practice in doing that. And I want you all to sign up. So there's this other piece, which is acting, right? Acting is critical to presence. From safety pins to mittens to marches to letter writing campaigns, these times demand that we act firmly and creatively. And I don't want to hear any quibbling and arguing about whether this action in the name of love is good enough or not. We got to just get out and do it, right? And not quibble amongst ourselves. Yeah. Jeez. So find your act and go do it. There is no shortage of actions for love that are worthwhile. But even more, we need to show up as a community of action and link with other communities that catapult our efforts. As a religious community, a spiritual community, a community of faith, whatever you want to call us, we have got to act together. And we've got to use our own calling of inner depth and outer focus together. Because if we are just acting without that inner place of reflection, we lose the other part of presence. And the other part of presence is being deeply connected to ourselves and one another in a way that can sometimes give us glimpses of that transcendence. And when we are there, we can experience a big love that brings hope, a big love that allows us to feel like we are not alone in this, a big love that brings power to us in those glimpses and onward. Our calling as a congregation of inner depth and outer focus is needed more than ever. And connecting to that inner depth, that kind of presence needs to be cultivated. We need to have our own spiritual practices, our own communal practices, so that we can deeply embody the love that we want to experience out in the world and to bring out into the world. That's what presence can offer. The greatest thing we can offer another person is that kind of presence. And when we offer it to them, their light goes on too. So let us witness, let us name, let us act in the name of justice. but let us also cultivate those practices we need for the long run to connect to that big love, that big, powerful love that is so needed in this world right here and right now. Amen.
Amen.